Praise the Lord, everybody. Let's try it again. Praise the Lord, everybody. How many are thankful for what you feel right now? Can you feel the sweet touch of God on this service tonight? You don't have to grow up in this to know that the hand of the Lord is on this service tonight. This is what I'm going to ask. I just feel like I just need to follow the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm so honored to be here. I want to forego preliminaries. Maybe we'll do more tomorrow night, but I feel there is something here right now. There's a special touch of God on this weekend. And it's not because Brother Jones is here. I believe that it's the timing of God. If you're a visitor here tonight, we do not apologize for our exuberance and praise. But it's our giving back. It's the way that we show God thank you, by lifting up our... It's the least that I can do is lifting up my hands and lifting up my voice to the God that manifests in the flesh and died for me. It's the least I can do is give him... It's the least I can do is clap my hands. It's the least that I can do is give him a praise. It's the least that I can... We're just giving back to the God that gave us everything. We're just giving back to the God that gave us peace. We're just giving back to the God that gave us hope. We're just giving back to him. Thank you, musicians. I didn't come to impress anybody tonight, but I want us to give up God for just 10, 15 more seconds without any music, without any music, without any drums, without any guitar, without any bass. I want us to reach down deep into our souls right now and give God a gratitude. Anybody has the ability to do this, just begin to thank him because he's been a good God. He's been so good to me. He's been faithful to me. When everybody else has left me, he never left me. When other people abandoned me, he never abandoned me. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Mama, you can be seated. I want you to stay in a posture of prayer tonight. This is a very appointed time. This is a very important time and appointed time for this church. I texted Pastor a few days ago and I told him I felt a special touch of God on this weekend. And I want to preface something before I get into the message tonight, that I do not talk to the pastor before I come. He did not tell me who was going to be here. He did not tell me what was going on in this church. But God still speaks to people. You believe that? There is a depth, and I'm gonna preach in just a moment, but I gotta share something right now. There is a depth in this church that I don't believe was here the last time I was here. But let me tell you, anytime a church starts operating in the depth of the Spirit, it will always cost you something. And can I tell you, the depth that we've been feeling has cost some people in this building some stuff. Ooh, my God. But God has kept accurate record of all the attacks. Ooh, my God, I feel it. I feel it. God has kept accurate record of things that have come against ladies and ministry in this church. Can I tell you that God keeps accurate record, and he has showed up this weekend to set this church on a trajectory. But before God can take you up, he's got to take you low. Before God can give you the depth that you have desired, he had to take some of us to a low place. Joseph, before you ever get to the palace, you got to first go to the pit. Something's about to happen in this weekend. I do not say that to hype anybody up, but I tell you what I know in the Spirit is that something is going to shift as of tonight. There is three words that I want to preach about tonight. And I want to say this. I did not come to impress, but I came to deliver what I feel. There's three words I want to preach from tonight. And those three words are this: when God remembers. When God remembers. The definition of the word remember is to have in or be able to bring to one's mind an awareness of someone or something that one has seen, known, or experienced in the past. But I know immediately, as I have said that word remember, that many of you have already connected other words with that word remember. And one word that often comes to our mind when we say the word remember is the word forgot. I feel that this word has plagued many people in this building tonight, is the word forgotten. You feel God hasn't seen your faithfulness. Because for you, 2025 has been the most trying year of your life. It has been a year that some of you have made the statements, what else could possibly go wrong? If you have ever felt forsaken, you're in good company tonight. Because even God manifest in the flesh would ask the question, why hast thou forsaken me? Gideon, according to Judges 6 and 13, would feel forsaken by God. But I want to declare to you a promise that is given to us in his word. The first promise is found as Moses is speaking to the children of Israel. He begins to tell them his age and how he can't go in and out among the people anymore. he would settle their hearts by telling them that the Lord would go before them. But a promise is given in a season of transition. It's found in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. And it says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. When I feel forsaken, I've got to get into the Word of God. And the Word of God says that he's going before you and he will never leave you nor forsake. You serve a God that cannot fail you. We find in Hebrews 13, in the final chapter of that book, it provides us practical instructions for how believers should live out their life. It tells us that we should have love for our brothers and have hospitality. But in the midst of the teaching of us of this, there is a reminder that is brought to our attention. Hebrews 13 and 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never, somebody shout never, leave thee nor forsake. Psalms 37 and verse 25, it says, I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. You serve a God that will never, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter what storm, no matter what financial issues, no matter what's going on in your marriage, he will never leave you nor forsake. Having financial crisis, he will never leave you. Dealing with uncertainty, he will never leave you. Worried about your kids, he will never. There are people under the sound of my voice tonight that feel like nobody in this church knows what you're going through. You feel like you're the oddball. And the devil has plagued your mind that no one understands you. So anytime you feel this way, we immediately, through the help of the adversary, wants us to isolate ourselves. Why is it that when we go through trials, we isolate ourselves from the very thing that can help us? Let me tell you, you are a part of the body of Christ. Hold on. You are a part of the body. Somebody needs to hear me right now. You are a part of the body. But when a piece of the body is severed, the blood cannot flow to you. That's why the enemy wants to sever you from the body, because he knows as long as you're connected to the body, the blood can get to you. The blood can get to you. So that's why he wants you to isolate yourself. Don't isolate yourself from the body. We need one another. We need one another. Don't isolate yourself. God is working even when you don't feel like he's working. But as we quickly get into what I feel for tonight, I want to know, how many times is the word remember mentioned in the Bible? The word remember is mentioned 148 times in the Bible, but remembered is mentioned 57 times in the Bible. But when is the first time the word remembered is mentioned in the Bible? The first time remembered is mentioned is when it's connected to a storm. In Genesis 8 and verse 1, this flood happens, and the Bible says this in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. And God remembered Noah. Now, I know some of you are in a storm of your life, and you feel like that remembered. You mean to tell me that God has forgotten me? No, he hasn't forgotten you. But you got to understand what that word remembered actually means. It's a covenantal word. And let me tell you, if God ever makes a covenant to you, you better take it to the bank that whatever he has spoken, it is going to happen. I don't care how long you've been in the storm. I don't care how long you've been dealing with disease in your body. When God says something, you take it to the bank that it's going to happen. Woo! The first time it is mentioned is when it's connected to a family. It is connected to a man that the Bible calls righteous. This man that was right standing with God. A man that would decline and would refuse to live the life that everybody else was living. But this word of remembered is connected to Genesis 6 and verse 18. Genesis 6 and verse 18, and it says, but with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And God remembers in the midst of an ark, in the midst of a flood, God remembers what he spoke. God remembers when all hell is breaking around in your family and there comes a day. I don't know what triggered that day where God began to remember his covenant with Noah. But I believe that something has been triggered in the mind of God for Experience Church. And some of you have been in a storm. But I'm telling you, God is remembering the promises that he gave you for backsliders. The promises that he's given you for revival. The promises. But Noah, you've kept your side of the deal. But now God's about to keep his part. But anytime that word remembered is mentioned in the Bible, if you look a few verses behind it, there is an action that is involved with it. Genesis chapter 8 and verse 2, we see that the action of God, Genesis chapter 8 verse 2, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven was restrained. When God remembers a people, when God remembers a church, you take it to the bank that God's about to start acting. When you really start studying that word to remember, it means to bring to the forefront of his mind. So can I tell you, Experience Church, that you are at the forefront of God's mind. And when God, can I just declare what I feel right now? I'm telling you, God's about to perform some miracles for some people because you're at the forefront. You've been faithful in the small things. So God is about to make you ruler over many. I'm telling you, this is a day that something's about to shift. Something's about to stop. We serve a God that cannot lie. I'm telling you, God is about to start answering some prayers that you've been praying. But I believe that anything that a church or a pastor or a family goes through, there is a point that God says enough is enough. Can I tell you, there's some bombardment that's been happening to the people in this building that is going to stop tonight. I know it's hard for some of you to believe because you've been dealing with it for years. But when God remembers, I'm telling you, God is willing to do a quick work where God says, okay, enough is enough. I'm drawing the line in the sand. I'm coming against every intimidating spirit that has fought people from entering into apostolic ministry. I'm about to stop. Somebody hear me. But can I tell you that what we got to understand is the architect of the ark, okay? The Bible tells us that God gives specific instructions to Noah of how to build this ark. And God would shut the door. God had control of the door. Which means to tell me, God has control of the time. Oh, hold on. God has control of the time. But the one thing that Noah had control over is he had control over the window. Nope, some of you missed it. God had control over the door, but Noah had control over what he could see. We got to be careful that a place of protection, that we don't allow the adversary to convince us that a place of protection sometimes feels like a prison. A place that I've been in for a long time to protect me from what's outside can often have us jaded. God has forgotten me in this. No, he ain't. He's just protecting you. He ain't forgotten you. He's just protecting you. Imagine how jaded Noah maybe have become. It's every time he opens that window and all he can see is the carnage outside. God, have you forgotten about me? I took all this time to build this ark and I'm stuck. Sometimes you feel stuck. You're not stuck. Oh, if you only knew that God is keeping accurate record. Day 100, day 105, day 106, and they have stayed where I have placed. It's better in the ark than outside of the ark. It's better in safety than outside. God is working on your behalf. I've come to tell a mama in this building, God is working on your behalf. All right, we're about to get where some of you are living right now. It's some of you don't believe what I'm preaching. I've been here long enough. I think you love me. I love you. I come with a word from God for this church. I know why some of you struggle. I've heard preaching like this before. I've heard preaching like this that something's going to change in this after this revival's over with. And a man just thinks it's because he's come. No, it ain't because I'm here. Problem is that some of you have believed in the longevity of the problem more than you believe in God's ability in one service to change it. Longevity, I'm talking about years of things that God wants to bring to an end tonight. But you just don't know, Brother Jones. I'm just like the lady with the issue of blood for 12. The longevity of an issue has caused some of you to believe more in the issue than the problem solver. 40 years he was lame and he couldn't walk, and in one moment. But because of the longevity of what you've been dealing with, you believe God can't do it. spirit of unbelief that's creeping up in our churches. But the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, listen to what I'm saying. The miraculous is going to happen at an expedient rate. Hold on. Not to affirm a ministry, but because the end times demands a demonstration. So why can't God do it for your family? I'm bumping up against that spirit of unbelief, but God's giving me clarity right now. It's not people in this building. God's giving me clarity. It's not the people in this building. It's the spirit of this area. The spirit of this area that says, oh, you've been prophesied that you're going to have a revival and you're going to double in one revival. Where is it at? We thought 2025 would be the year, but it's been the year of chaos. It's been the year of health issues. It's been the year where I said, God, what are you doing right now? It's the spirit of the city. I'm telling you, it's going to push against what I'm preaching. It's going to say, yeah, you've heard that preaching before. And then after somebody preached that, you lost two families. It's a spirit of unbelief. But we're going to come against that spirit tonight in the name of Jesus. This isn't the only time that remembered is mentioned. It's mentioned in Genesis 19 and verse 29. And it says this, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham. Who is Abraham? A man who trusted in God when it didn't make sense. A man who followed a voice in Genesis chapter 12 and left family and kindred unto a land that God would show him. A man of faith, but a man who also had a promise. A man that has been waiting for 20 plus years of a promise, but he is married to a woman that is barren. God, where's my promise? And let me tell you, often, let somebody hear me. A young couple needs to hear me right now. You need to wait on God's timing. You need to wait on God's timing. Let me tell you why. Because there's oftentimes, listen to what I'm saying, oftentimes we can rush what God is saying wait for. They're in the land of Canaan for 10 years. They're in the promised land, but there is no promised baby. You know what happens after 10 years of waiting in the promised land, but there's no baby? We can start reaching for Hagar's. Where was Hagar? Hagar was an Egyptian. We better be careful when we try to put our hands on God's promises and make it happen in our timing. And let me tell you, the humanity, the flesh, will always reach for a quick fix. Abram reached for Hagar, and immediately Hagar conceived. Not everything that happens quickly is God's will. And God remembered Abraham. But the beautiful thing about Abraham is you got to go back a couple chapters. As Abraham has an angelic visitation from God. I didn't show up to see you, Abram. I showed up to see your wife. And she's going to have a baby. I said it. But then the angels begin to tell Abram where he's going. He's going to Sodom. And Abram stands before God and he says, will you not destroy the city for some righteous people? Abraham was interceding for souls. Can I tell you, there's some people that have been praying some prayers that have watched the days and the years that you have interceded for others, and God is remembering. Oh, yeah. God's remembering the prodigals. And I'm telling you, as I'm preaching right now, God is stirring prodigals right now. He's bringing things to their mind. He's causing them to remember things that have happened at youth camps. He's stirring them right now, because when God remembers an intercessor, he begins to move on the behalf of an intercessor. Seated. Oh, God. But let me tell you, Pastor McCoy, what interferes with intercession? Strife. Abraham would have never been able to intercede for his nephew if he allowed strife to stay in his spirit. There was strife between the herdsmen, and Abram says to Lot, if you go this way, then I'll go that way. If you go that way, then I'll go this way. And there was strife between the herdsmen. But Abram had a revelation that I'd rather prefer my brother than hold on to bitterness. Are you willing to let go of some bitterness in order to see a family member saved? Are you willing to let go of somebody doing you wrong in order for you to intercede on their behalf? I don't want to allow bitterness into my spirit that affects my ability to tap into the Spirit of God. God's remembering some Abrahams in this building. God's remembering some prayers that you have prayed. Oh. God's remembering. Woo. Well, we also see in Genesis chapter 30 the desperation of a woman who desires to have a baby. She would tell her husband, give me a child or else I die. She was barren but burdened. He would respond by saying, am I in God's stead? But like we all do, we try to put our hands on things and make it happen on our own. Genesis 30 and 3 says this, and she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. Verse 4, and she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. Verse 5, and Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son. Hold on. All Rachel wanted was a baby. Is there anything wrong with that? No. But what happens when everybody else is getting their promise before you do? Everybody else is getting financial breakthroughs before you do. Or I'm going to address an elephant in the room right now. Everybody else is getting married before you do. Happy for everybody else. But I'm telling you, there's coming a season for some people that you have rejoiced with other people when they've received their promises. And can I tell you, your time. Your time of rejoicing when everybody else gets what they have been praying for. Your time. Because God has remembered. Delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you Genesis 30 verse 7, and Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. What about me, God? I give him Bilhah, she has one son, and now she has a second son, and I'm still barren. What about me? Some of you have asked God that question. What about me? What about my financial breakthrough? I'm tired of barely making it. tired of living paycheck to paycheck. I want to drive a nice car. I want to have a nice suit. What about me? But here we go. Genesis 30 and 22. And God remembered Rachel. And God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And I tell you, God's listening. Some of you need to pray some big prayers tonight. Some of you need to pray some prayers that you think, oh, God could never do that. Yes, He can. In conclusion, there is one lady I want to focus on at the end of this message. Another woman who is barren. Her name is Hannah. But this lady is living in a chaotic environment. Please stay with me. 1 Samuel 1 and verse 2 begins to show us the lifestyle of this woman. And he, being Elkanah, had two wives. The name of one was Hannah and the name of the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Verse 3, and this man went up out of the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. Verse 4, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughter portion. Verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved. Everybody say loved. You got to read the Bible carefully. One thing in this story that we never hear mentioned is we never hear mentioned that Elkanah loved Peninnah. But it does say that Elkanah loved Hannah. And let me tell you that Peninnah, the adversary, his job is to do this, is to get you to focus on what you don't have. The voice of Peninnah, listen to this young preacher, is to get you to focus on what's empty instead of what God has done for you and given you. Verse 5, but unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord, not the devil, but the Lord shut up her womb. Why would God do that? Loving God. He's a merciful God. He's a care. He would never allow me to go through that. The Lord did this. But there's a lot of times the Lord does things. He allows things to happen. And where we miss it is we say, God, get me out, instead of asking the question, God, why have you allowed it and what am I supposed to learn? Because God will not allow you to go through something if he doesn't plan to bring you through it. But there is a purpose in the barrenness. Ooh. But God, you're the reason why I'm not fruitful. Hold up. Genesis 1 and verse 28, what does it say? And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful. God, you're the reason why I can't. Let's continue. Genesis 9 and verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful. This is a mandate by God. And God, I'm trying to do your mandate, but you have caused me to be barren. Let's continue. Genesis 35 and 11. And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful. How can I multiply when you're the reason why I can't have children, God? And maybe Hannah began to ask the question, am I a part of God's plan? Maybe I missed it. Maybe I'm not good enough. I'm going to tell you in the Holy Ghost right now. Right now, some of you believe that because of your past lifestyles is the reason why you're going through what you're going through. Some of you, the enemy has convinced you because of past mistakes, that's why you're barren. And some of you are about to abort the season that you have been praying for because of the voice of Penina. The voice of Penina would not leave Hannah alone. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up. How about that? The adversary was at home with her, but the adversary didn't just stay in the house. The adversary showed up to Shiloh, showed up to the temple. You got all that from Elkanah. Where's that baby at? Man, you went up to that altar and prayed through it. Where's your promise? Oh, you really thought that God was going to do it for you? Yeah, right. You see all these kids I got? What's wrong with you, Hannah? What's wrong with you? And it's that voice that shows up not just when you're at home, but it shows up when you come to church. And some of you are just looking for a little reprieve from that voice. Shows up again. Some of you, you're fighting that voice right now as I'm preaching. Yeah, right. He don't know what's going on at your house. He don't know that there's divorce papers have already been printed. He don't know that they said they'd never come back to this church. He don't know. And let me tell you what the purpose of the voice of Penina is. Is to cause you to worry more than you can worship. If the adversary, he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And if he can take your worship and cause you every time you're in the presence of God to worry. But let's continue. 1 Samuel 1 verse 7, and as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her, never leaving her alone. Therefore she wept and did not eat. This voice was a constant, but notice that there is one voice that is constant while the other one is silent. God's voice is silent. What do you do in those seasons of silence where God's not speaking to you? Let me tell you what Penina does. It punks us. It affects our attendance to church. It affects our attendance to prayer meetings, when actually that voice of Penina should provoke us into a place of prayer. I'm hurrying. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 8, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, what's going on? Nobody understood what Hannah was going through. Elkanah didn't hear the voice of Penina. The voice of Penina was very strategic, and when it talked to Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better than 10? Why did you have to bring up sons? You're constantly bringing up the thing that I can't produce. Not only am I getting bombarded. Not only am I getting bombarded by the voice of Penina, but I'm getting bombarded by the voice of my husband. Nobody understands me. But look at 1 Samuel 1 and verse 9. Look at this. So Hannah rose up. Listen, I don't know what was said that caused Hannah and a stirring in her spirit that said, you know what? I done took enough of this. I done heard enough of your voice. I done heard enough of the voice of the adversary. But it's time for Experience Church to rise up. It's time to rise up. It's time to rise to the occasion. Woo! But she rose up. Well, where did she go? Verse 9. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. Verse 10. And what did she come to the temple of the Lord with? And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed. Some of you missed it. What was going on internally did not affect her ability to pray. I know some of you are going through a lot of things right now internally, but if you could tell yourself, self, if you could encourage yourself in the Lord that I showed up on Friday night on purpose, I didn't show up on mistake, and I am going to allow what's on the inside to push me to a place of prayer. Come on, brother, come help me on the piano. I'm almost done. She prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Verse 11. Now here we go. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look, hold up, everybody get this, look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember. And remember me and not forget. Hannah went through a season where she felt like she was forgotten. But Hannah would pray a simple prayer. Remember me. Remember me. Forget not thy handmaid, but I will give it unto thy handmaid a man child. Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And there shall no razor come upon his head. Verse 12. And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth. Eli sitting in his seat. He's just watching her. Notice Eli didn't join the prayer meeting. He spectated. And he was judging a person that was running on empty. Judging a book by its cover, not knowing the contents. The Bible says that he marked her mouth. He watched what she was doing. Verse 13, now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Thought. Verse 14, and Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Verse 15. Hannah said, No, my Lord, I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out. I've given everything I could, God. I've come to the end of myself. God, all I'm asking is remember me. She came in burdened down by things that were going on at home. But one moment in the presence of God could change what she came in with, and she would leave a different way. Verse 16, count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Verse 17, here we go. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace. Came in with bitterness, but you're going to leave with peace. All it needed was one word from a man of God. Hold on, let's go back. She's bombarded by the voice of Peninnah, but there would be a prophetic word from a man of God. God has heard your prayer. What's your response to a prophetic word? Worry or worship? What's your response to a prophetic word? Well, I just don't believe that's going to be. Worry or worship? What does 1 Samuel 1 verse 18? And she said, let thy handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. Because all she needed was a word from God that overrides the voice of the adversary. Let's stand. Let's stand. Which voice are you going to listen to tonight? The voice of the adversary or the voice of the man of God? 1 Samuel 1 and verse 19, and they rose up in the morning early. Hold up. 1 Samuel 1 verse 19, and they rose up in the morning early. And it doesn't say that she was pregnant when she started worshiping. So she worshiped before the promise ever came. She worshiped before the prophecy ever came to pass, because I got a word from a man of God. First Samuel 1 and verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. If you could turn your worry into worship tonight and say, before I feel the baby bump, I'm going to worship because I'm listening to the voice of the man of God. And something shifted tonight. I'm going to tell you, when we call this altar call, I'm not telling you to pray some elaborate prayer, but I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to pray when you come to this altar. Hannah would pray a prayer, God, remember me. Nehemiah would pray a prayer, God, remember me. Joseph would pray a prayer, God, remember me. Hezekiah would pray a prayer, God, remember. Jeremiah would pray a prayer, God, remember me. Samson would pray a prayer, God, remember me. Psalmist David would pray a prayer, God, remember me. The criminal on the cross would pray a prayer, God, remember me. You don't have to pray any elaborate prayer when you come to this altar. All you got to say is, God, remember. God, remember me. Can you pray that prayer right now? God, remember me. Come on, can you pray that prayer? I want you to open your mouth and say it for you. God, remember me. Shadamote. What voice are you going to listen to? The voice of the adversary, or are you going to listen to the voice of God saying, I'm remembering. I'm remembering. That's what I'm going to ask. I'm going to ask every person to put your pride aside tonight. Because let me tell you, I want everybody to look at me. Pride is a barrier to breakthrough. The lady with the issue of blood would have never got the issue resolved if she had too much pride to break past the crowd. I'm asking people in this building that God, we are in a prophetic moment right now, and I am asking you to lay your pride aside. Say, God, I hear the voice of the man of God, and you're remembering me.